You're listening to Otaku Break, Episode 2, The Great J-Drama Rush. Welcome back again to episode 3 of Otaku Break. I am, as always, your host, RK. Today we're doing something differently. As you may notice as we go on to the show, that Private Donut is missing. See, he and I decided that maybe we should try a new format. Okay, when I say we decided, I mean he decided, really. He just so happened to run it by me. I know, he's so nice, isn't he? Anyway, what we're going to be doing from now on, or try to be doing, is that I'll do an episode all by myself. Just me, myself, and I. And then, after I post my episode, Donut will do an episode all by him's lonesome. And then, once he posts that up, then we'll do an episode together. So it'll be one episode of just me doing my thing, my review, my news, and my pick, and then it'll be an episode of him doing his news, his review, and maybe his pick, I don't know. He doesn't listen to much music. And then we'll do an episode of both of us doing our stuff together. Or rather, you know, my review, his review, and maybe news together, I'm not sure. So that's the way things will be working from now on. If you like it, if you hate it, leave us a damn comment. I mean, my god, him and I both did crap to try to get you people to post comments, and no one's doing it. So why don't you people get off your lazy iPod listening butts and comment on our page. Yeah, that's right. You want to talk about that? Comment it. Tell me that you don't like me. You hate us, love us, whatever, leave us a damn comment. Email, come on. Anyway, today's show, if you couldn't tell by the title, is the No Anime episode, as I review not one, not two, but three great J-dramas. Well, technically it's two great J-dramas, and one's a tokusatsu, but it's got some drama in it. And it was... It's based off an anime, so I guess it still works in the anime review section. The news is kind of short, but I got some pretty cool things going in there. And the pick of the week, which may end up being an oldie but goodie, so just watch out. So, without further ado, I think that's going to be my catchphrase. Here is the news.
Standing by.
Initiate news sequence. Complete. For the week of April 26th, this is your Otaku Break News. Not much news this week. First up, news that on August 26th, the Blu-ray and DVD of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is going to be released in Japanese shelves. The big part is that in the DVD, you're going to be included a side story called The Blind Alchemist, which, if you read the guidebook to Fullmetal Alchemist, was a short little comic that she created specifically for the guidebook. So that's going to be getting animated and will appear as a feature in the DVD. You're also going to be getting Hiromu Arakawa's 4-panel theater, which, once again, if you read the guidebook, and also at the end of every manga, there was short little vignettes that Arakawa drew just for, like, showing how things happened. Those are also going to be getting animated, and you'll be able to get them. Also, you get an eye patch card, which is, like, illustrated with commercial bumper art from the anime, and a nice little art/production book. However, you only get in the first two episodes on the disc, so I don't know, it seems like Blu-ray might be a little much. Also, news on Brotherhood itself, I've finally seen both episodes, and I'll talk about more of that later. More anime news. Apparently, there is a new Gundam in the works, called Gundam Unicorn. It was officially announced on April 26th that an anime adaptation was being made. The cool thing about this is that instead of being set in the alternate universe like the last few dozen Gundams have been, this one's actually going to be set in Universal Century, specifically Universal Century 0096, which, if you remember correctly, is 3 years after Char's counterattack. So it's going to be pretty cool to see what happened after our favorite hero and villain have... Well, I won't say what happened in case you haven't seen it. But if you did, well then you know that this is getting to be pretty exciting. Also in anime-ish news, reports that Final Fantasy VII Advent Children Complete have sold over 100,000 Blu-ray discs. Or DVD discs. Whatever, 1,000 copies on its first day. Now, I can't help but think this is also attributed to the fact that you also get a copy of Final Fantasy XIII, the demo of it at least, on the Advent Children Complete, so no doubt that that's just all the hungry Square Enix fans wanting to get a taste of a little 13 action. Also, a little side note, apparently the demo of Final Fantasy XIII has shown that it is 5 gigabytes worth of information. And that has caused a little bit, slight amount of controversy in that, for the Blu-ray, that's no problem. I mean, God, that thing can hold like 25 gigs of information. But for DVD and Xbox 360 owners, this is a bit of a problem. You can't help but wonder, geez, if the demo is just that much, how much is the game going to be? And does that mean that when the 360 gets the game, are they going to actually have it like 7 DVDs long? Or what they're probably going to do is cut it up or do something to it. Donut's been talking about how it has to do with sound, the same way Metal Gear Solid can't ever be on 360. It has something to do with the sound. I'll see if he'll talk about it in his news break. Either way, it's a little bit unsettling. Final bit of news, and it's quite possibly the best for last. In the latest attempt to bring otaku together, I assume, Japanese company CST Entertainment has created it's a website for matchmaking, but it's not for normal people. Oh no, it is for otaku, called Otakuma or Otaku Match. It's not like typical dating sites like Match.com or whatever they use in Japan, but it's for hardcore. That's right, hardcore otaku to find other otaku with similar interests. Launching on April 27th, which is actually today, the Otaku Ma service will let a user sign up for and then specify their interests in what specific genre, you know, manga, anime, cosplay, seiyuu, live action, tokusatsu, you know, martial arts, computers, military, whatever it is their mania, your mania is, they'll narrow down the search. And they can even specifically describe their search in details, like what you want specifically. Like, say you don't just like any kind of mecha, you specifically like the Godenar mecha, or like you specifically like Gundam Wings mecha. Then you can like refine it down to that specific point. It'll then use these preferences to match it with a list of potential friends, quote unquote. More really, it's supposed to be people who you go out with, but let's face it, you're otaku, I don't think you're actually going to be going out. And, you know, lets you converse with them. They say that it's supposed to help otaku, because if you're an otaku, much like myself, you know that the idea of meeting real people is just freaking terrifying. I mean, I don't want to do it, but this is supposed to kind of, like, stem that by helping you get to know them online. And it even says that for people who do not want to meet others online, it offers a full online interaction. So, and to boot, it's all going to be free. So, if you live in Japan, or you can read Japanese, tell me about it. That seems like something I'm definitely going to look into more. Hell, it might be the only way I'll ever find a girlfriend. And that does it for the news. And here we are with today's, or rather this week's, pick of the week. I happened to find this particular gem while I was searching around YouTube, and I saw a preview or trailer for this very movie that I remember getting excited about early on, Negative Happy Chainsaw Edge. It's a flick from Japan. Anyway, today's pick of the week happens to be the theme that's used in it. So without much more rambling, Be Free by Green. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And now, dear listeners, the moment you've all been waiting for. Today's main event. Okay, today I'm reviewing some J-dramas, and I'm starting off with the one that's not actually a J-drama, but more of a tokusatsu. It is a drama, but it's more tokusatsu-ish than all drama. Alright, today I'm reviewing Cutie Honey the Live. Now, Cutie Honey the Live is a 26-episode series that began on October 2007 and lasted until March 2008. Now, if you're sitting there wondering, wait, Cutie Honey, wasn't that an anime? Why, by golly, you happen to be right. Cutie Honey was an anime created by Go Nagai, a famed mangaka who is also happens to be an author of numerous genres of books, but he's best known for Cutie Honey, Devilman, and Mazinger Z. Now, the main story of Cutie Honey, originally, was that Cutie Honey was like an android woman, and more of a magical girl, really, but she was supposed to be an android who could transform into, like, different people. What she would do is the basic magical girl transformation, which of course involved all her clothes coming off, and then she would transform into whatever needed to be done. Like, say she was in a bike race, motorcycle race, well then she would transform and become a world-class motorcyclist who knows all their skills, and then, you know, say she was facing down a martial artist, she would transform and become, like, a great martial artist, and all of them, of course, in true magical girl fashion, featured her clothes, as I said, coming off and her twirling around. And all of this was basically summed up by the fact that, oh, she's an android, she's able to do that. Which, in Cutie Honey Live, is. She happens to be created by a person named Dr. Koshiro Kisaragi, which is why she takes her name of Honey Kisaragi from. And as a little nod, I guess you'd call it, whatever. It's not really a nod, since he's a prolific person in the tokusatsu itself. You know, he helped in a lot of the aspects of it, but Go Nagai plays the part of her father, who only appears in, I want to say, a couple of episodes, so he doesn't get a big part, but still, that's pretty cool. In Cutie Honey the Live, Cutie Honey, Honey Sisaragi, is an elementary school, well, not elementary, high school student. No, at least, I think it's high school students. Is that what I'm... I think it's high school. You know, I always have problems with Japanese school systems. Anyway, who is teamed up with Seiji Hayami, who is a private detective, whose dream is to write a book on the demonish things in modern Japan's capitalism. And that's like a direct quote. That's exactly how he says it. To that point, he has taken on the role of a poor peasant man who lives in the slum so he can better understand the seedy underbelly of society. When the show starts, he met Honey 14 months prior to when it began, when he was helping her get her quote-unquote notebook from a gang and ended up running away from the gang. It's at that point he sees her transform and beat them senseless, and he basically becomes fast friends with her, which, when you see her, you realize it's not that difficult to become friends with her. She's, in anime terms, your fairly ditzy main heroine, doesn't really know or really care about what's happening most of the time. She just likes having fun. The main powers, I assume you would call her that, is, of course, her ability to transform into Cutie Honey, which gives her pseudo-super strength. She also has a super intelligence, which you couldn't really tell when you meet her. A healing factor kind of thing. Not to mention that, but you can also summon a sword, a rapier, more specifically, called the Silver Floret. And it seems she has the ability that when she touches stuff, she can make it, like, disappear or reduce it to thin air. You know, just, like, she touches it and it destroys whatever it is, but not, like, in a boom, just kind of... Lots of pink flashes going on here. Along the way, she meets other androids created by the good doctor. One of them is Miki Saotome, who you first kind of get as a rival. Slash, you know she's end up... You know, she starts off as a rival, pseudo-rival. Although you know she's going to end up becoming Honey's friend, and she's very much the bad girl, the one who's willing to do whatever it takes and doesn't really care about other people. Then there's Yuki Kenmochi. Unlike the other two, she ended up being adopted by a family. And she's very proper, very curt and all that stuff, you know. The girl who knows what to do, what's right. They meet her much later in the series. Well, I want to say later. They meet her about episode... About halfway through the series is when they meet her. And of course, they're all... All three of those girls are androids who, when they transform, they all kind of look alike except for differing colors. The plot revolves around Honey mostly and Seiji to an extent. It's very episodic in that they fight Panther Claw, who's an underworld organization dedicated to making profit at any cost. And they got a... He, the person who runs, or, you know, is the leader of Panther Claw, is Yuji Nakaja. And he's supposed to be a young genius. I believe it's said at one point that his IQ is over 200. And from the get-go, you realize this guy has got some serious things going on up there. He's got multiple personality disorders. One of them is the cold, calculating adult person, and then you got the child who's very mean and malicious. While the adult's Yuji, the child, is named Hikomaru, which I'm sure means something, but I'm way too lazy to figure out. One of the things about Panther Claw is they've developed a way to merge your body with electronics and such, i.e., all the guys you see usually are end up being some kind of cyborg, so when they get cut up, it's not a problem. Like a Yuji for himself, he can produce these like really sharp, like razor sharp feathers from his hands and his arms, and he can fire them. And then at one point, you see him, at first they're like feathers, then at one point you see them become like these bat wing kind of things, and I think they lose the ability to shoot objects because it's not feathers anymore, but when their feathers are razor sharp, then he gets like bat wings, which doesn't really make a sense. Not only do they have good genetics, they have good technology as the first episode. And I'm not ruining much because it's the first episode, not much is revealed, but you should sort of go see it anyway. Panther Claw is running like a game. Where people who have a lot of money, specifically three guys who have a lot of money, are betting on who these, like, all three of these guys they're betting on are prisoners who have been given this powerful gun, and they're betting on how long the prisoners will last before they get caught. So whoever's guy lasts the longest before getting caught wins, and of course, whenever the other guys lose, they immediately get killed by Panther Claw, and their remains get disposed of, and, like, the guns they get are, like, these guns that can shoot, like, lasers and stuff, and... It's all very malicious. In the first episode, you got PG... It's PG-13, so of course you're going to get boobies in it, because it's Japan. It happens for, like, 5 seconds, and unless you're, like, a hardcore, oh my god, the girl's naked, this is horrible, you're not going to be too bothered by it. Then again, if you're even close to bothered by people being naked, this is not the show for you. As I said, it's a magical girl show, so whenever Honey transforms... She comes naked, and it's usually rather hilarious and intoxicating to watch at the same time. Now, the cool thing about this is that the three heroines, the three, I guess you want to call them idols, they cast, of them, only one's, only really one's an idol, per se. But the three girls they cast as the main characters, you know, Honey, Miki, and Yuki, they're all relatively, or at least were when it came out, it's only been a year, they were relatively new faces when they came onto the scene. None of them have really been in much. Seiji, however, had a lot of tokusatsu under his belt. He first appeared as Tsubasa Yamagatana, or Dan of the Knight of the White Knight, and Garo, Beast of the White Knight, which you've seen, it's pretty cool. He also, later on after Cutie Honey Live, went to play Kamen Rider Rei in the Kamen Rider Kiva movie, King of the Castle of the Demon World. He also was Kamen Rider Saga in the TV series, which was a pretty big role. Now, the show itself, it's pretty under review. The show itself is great. I mean, as far as live-action adaptations go, this one is just like one of the best anime adaptations you will ever get. Not to mention that this was basically the revive of the whole Cutie Honey franchise in general. It had been in a lag, there hadn't been a new anime series in forever. The last few ones have been kind of not so good. And then this came out and it just blew everything else away. I mean, my god, one of the characters which just makes the show all the more awesome, he's a pseudo main character, if you really want to call him that. The character he plays is Duke Watari. Duke Watari is basically a bilingual gentleman who switches between English and Japanese, like, constantly. And it is played by Mark Musashi. That's right, if you don't know who he is, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's Mark Musashi. The dude was... He's a suit actor in Kamen Rider Dragon Knight more recently. He was Woo in Yo-Yo Girl Cop, which I know no one should ever see it, but still. He's Kodama in Garo. He was Peace in Shibuya 15. He's a suit actor for Kamen Rider 2 and Kamen Rider 1st. I mean, he also did stunt work in Garo. He was, like, one of the suit actors for Garo, and it's just like... It's just the fact that they have him as a recurring character who has this great line of whenever something happens to him, from the slightest thing, he'll start yelling out shit and just like go into a rage of yelling like shit over and over again, and then finally become this cool gentleman once again. He alone made this series worth it, and even if they didn't have anything there, I'd go watch it just for him, but luckily it has a lot going for it. It's got a great storyline. I will admit, you might think, oh, well, it sounds like it's just a episodic show. Well, it is. Up until a few final episodes, it's very much happening bit by bit. There's a couple things in it that will transcribe into the next shows, but they're very missable for most of the time. So it's not like if you miss an episode, oh, you're not going to know what the heck's happening. However, I will point out that the show doesn't exactly explain... It explains what's going on for that episode, but it doesn't actually explain what's going on that got to that episode. So you'll start off with Honey and Seiji already, like, together as a team. It doesn't explain that till later on. Hell, I mean, you don't even see Honey until, like, the end of the first episode, which is not a bad thing, which I'd just like to point out. The first episode, they're constantly switching between what's happening with Seiji to apparently a bunch of high school girls getting a physical examination, and all the while it keeps switching back to these high school girls getting physical examinations. And you might be wondering, wait, why are they getting physical examinations? Why are we even looking at this? And then at the end, last 10 minutes maybe, you realize, oh, Honey's getting her physical examinations. So now it makes sense for this movie is full of fan service, and it revels in that fact. It takes no shame in the fact that, yeah, it's showing where they're supposed to be high school girls, half naked, running around kicking guys' asses, and let's face it, I don't think there's a person, male, female, or otherwise, who does not want to see that. I mean, dude, it's like Gunbuster, except they're not using mecha. It's just awesome all around. Cutie Honey the Live. I cannot recommend this enough. Definitely one of the shows that if you love anime, you'll get into it immediately. It's a great transitioner if you're trying to get into tokusatsu or Japanese live action. It's definitely a great show to start with if you're a big fan of anime, because it transitions nicely between anime and live action. That there's enough of each element in there that combines as a whole. if you understood any of that, then I'm sure you're going to love Cutie Honey the Live very, very much. Alright, our next drama, which it really isn't a drama. I know I should stop saying that. It's just live action, but I keep saying drama anyway because it makes it sound exotic. And anyway, it is called Mei-chan no Shitsuji, which basically is Mei's butler. Directed actually by four guys, which I didn't look at till now. I probably should have done more and did that. Ishikawa Junichi, Kinoshita Takao, Joho Hidenori, and Iwata Kazuyuki. Was produced by Hashimoto Fumi and also based on manga by Miyagi Riko. I should look into that, but I haven't. Wow, I wrote that down. I didn't even think of looking at it. Huh. I'm guessing the manga's... I bet it's probably... It looks like... It sounds like, and from the show, it sounds like it's a newer manga in the vein of Ouran High School Host Club. In fact, if you happen to like Ouran, you will like this show very much. The story revolves around a girl named Mei Shinonome, who lives a very average life. She lives with her mom and dad, and they run a noodle shop, and she goes to high school. She has a best friend, and there's a boy in her life, Kento Shibata, who is, you know, the basic likes her, but fights with her all the time, so you can tell even though he yells at her, he likes her. And it's all sunshine and happiness until she meets a man by the name of Vihito Shibata, who calls himself a butler. More specifically, he's calling himself her butler. And things just go downhill. Her parents' ramen shop, while they're in it, is blown up. Yes, blown up, killing both her parents. It is then you find out that the Shinonome clan, whatever you want to call them, is a very prestigious family. And her father left it to marry her mother, which his father, her grandfather, did not approve of. And her grandfather is the head of, like, the Shinonomes, which is, like, this big company, you know, just the big company that you don't really know what they do. They just have a lot of money and can do whatever the heck they want. And the whole... Her grandfather sends her to St. Lucia Girls Academy to learn how to be a proper girl. Now, the thing about, like, St. Lucia is that every girl there is paired with a butler. And that butler stays with them throughout your life, basically. And this is kind of like where they learn to be butlers and how to be ladies. And it's very much Ouran-ish. So, you know, the whole stay with, you know, they learning here, staying with them, learning how to be proper young ladies, you know, the whole idea that to be a proper learning, is it about, you know, mathematics? No, it's about how to properly eat your food with the right forks and stuff like that. Now, stuff happens, and eventually it starts off seemingly enough, like, just the premise of it, but it turns into, like, a sort of like one of those old school I'm gonna rise to the top shoujo animes that I used to be a lot of, now you don't see anymore. They're very much that she's gonna become one of the best students there. The whole idea of ranking is that there's ranks of it. There's the lowest one, the shadow umbra, what they call it, rank, in which Mei is, as well as one other person. That's the lowest rank, the lowest, you know, they're the bottom of the barrel. Next is the moon, or lunar, rank, which is where most of the people is, and finally there's the sun, soul rank, which is the highest rank of there. Now, the thing about it is, I said Shinonome, but it's actually the Hongo family. I'm sorry for that mix-up. Anyway, the whole premise of the fan, the whole premise I pointed out is very simply, it's got, like I said before, a very Oran feel to it. The story, the episode, there's only 10 episodes so far, and it just recently came out, so I don't know, there's no real news if it's gonna come back. Doesn't seem like it will, but you never know with these things work. 10-minute episodes long, with each episode being about an hour long. Basically, it's good enough. One of the things that drew me to this, and you're probably going to be like, ugh, again with this stuff, but the two male characters in the show are both Kamen Riders. Yeah. The guy who plays Rihito, Mizushima Hiro, he is actually freaking Kamen Rider Kabuto. Yeah, the dude was freaking Tendo. And if you've watched Kamen Rider Kabuto, you know how Tendo acts. He acts like almost the complete opposite of Tendo. In Mei-chan, he's very proper. He's very curt. He's always bowing and telling what's right. And then you got, you know, the fact that the dude played Tendo, and it's just like, it makes it all the more awesome. And as if that wasn't freaking enough, the guy who plays Kento, Sato Takeru, oh, holy crap, he's Ryotaro, he's Kamen Rider Deno. Yeah! Damn, it's like the great Kamen Rider, non-Kamen Rider shows. This was the fact that drew me to the show. And it's the fact that both of them seem to be playing the exact opposites of what they played in the Kamen Rider series. And that being said, it's a great show. I mean, that's what drew me to the show, just the fact that, huh, I'm watching Kamen Rider Kabuto and Kamen Rider Dano be butlers. But in the end, the show is very much an enjoyable experience. You'll love it. Like I said, if you like Oran, you'll love the show very much. It's got a very flowery feel to it. You know, girls were flocked. They'll just flock to the show. Guys will like it because it's got plenty of the comedy in it. Girls will love it because it's like, hey, really cute guys serving girls, yeah. And you know, it's got its fair share of drama. I mean, like, right off the bat, first episode, you know who the antagonist is, and she's like this bat crazy person who just wants Mei dead. And I don't just mean like out of the way, I mean like dead. She holds up like a pair of scissors at a picture of Mei and likes to snap in at like the throat area. It's like, oh my god, this person's like crazy. So it's being subbed, since you will obviously not be able to find this in stores, it's being subbed by Timeless Fan Subs. Also, I'd like to point out that Cutie Honey is being subbed by TV Nihon, so head over to those sites if you want to check them, be able to download them. Normally, I would not advise, you know, getting it. If we have it in the States, I would advise go get it, you know, which is the way with Fulukuli. I said, hey, go buy it. You know, Resident Evil Generation, don't torrent it, buy it. But we're not getting these things probably ever, so torrenting is the best way to go. That does it for this review. I guess before I should go, I should actually say this was a great show. Another good show transitioner if you like anime and you want to start getting into live action. Another good transitioner, whereas Cutie Honey was more for people who like action and bathroom humor, so to speak. Mei-chan is basically for girls, and if you like flowery stuff, I keep coming back to it, but Oran, again, I know I keep coming back to it, but, you know, let's face it, like 90% of anime fans in the U.S. love Oran, so if I say it's like Oran, I should be able to get a lot of people to be like, oh, I'm going to go download this immediately, so. It's a good show, has good plot, if not the typical plot, so one of the things you might want to watch for it, and this is more of a fan-server problem than anything else, is that, and this is more of a problem that a lot of fan-servers have, is that there's plenty of times where they'll make a joke in the show that has to do with, like, Japanese puns, or pronunciation being a pun, and at which point the fan-servers have decided to leave it in its entirety, which is great if they didn't have, at the very top, a paragraph explaining what the heck the joke meant, so that's just something to watch out for. But like I said, that doesn't detract from the show itself. The show itself is still great, and if you've watched any anime, you'll probably get the jokes anyway. Now, on to our last segment. Final J-drama, which I think fits rightly under that title, is Mop Girl, or Mappugaru, whatever you want to call it. If you want to be all, I can speak Japanese and whatever. This one was broadcast in October 2007 through December 2007, so once again, this one year and a half old. And it follows the life of a girl named Momoko Hasegawa, who is a low-ranking employee at a funeral services company. And in other words, she cleans up at whenever people die. Like, whenever you see people killed, and you always wonder, whoa, that dude just got stabbed 50 times and there's blood everywhere. You wonder who cleans them up. She does. You wonder who does all the services at burials and things like that? She does it. And she's the lowest ranking employee, so she's like the janitor of a funeral service, so it's like, man, that's gonna suck. She's a lot of dead bodies. She works with Otomo Shotaru and a bunch of other cast of characters, but the only ones who really, I want to say, matter in the whole show are Shotaru and Momoko. At a very young age, Momoko happened to be involved in a bike accident. Someone riding on the bike almost ran her over, and she was saved by a woman who you find out, I will just tell her name later on, her name is Ryoko. What happened is that since then, something strange has happened to her, and it hasn't really happened recently. It's just that that's when the first time she heard it, when she was saved by that woman, she heard this really loud ringing in her ears to the point that it was painful. And when she gets this new job, she ends up casually touching and something of the deceased person who she's cleaning up, and she gets sent backwards in time. That's the whole plot of the show, is that whenever she touches something that the deceased person really liked, like something important that was important to them, she'll go back in time to an earlier point, at which point she has the chance to save them, or really, in some cases, right a wrong that was committed to them. If any of you guys have seen that sci-fi show, True Calling, it's like that. It's got a lot more comedy in it. You know, it's actually good. Yes, there's plenty of comedy. You think a show like this, there wouldn't be that much comedy. It has plenty of comedy in it, but don't let that fool you. Some of the later episodes do get very drama-heavy. I mean, they're all supposed to be drama-heavy. It's all your basic whodunit up to a point, and it's always, like, the last person you're expecting. I mean, it literally is always the last person. I always think, oh, after the first few episodes, you start thinking, oh, or just, you know, whoever doesn't seem like it's gonna do it, he's the one who did it, you know? It's like freaking Scooby-Doo, except with a bunch of Japanese people and some comedy thrown in. It was directed by Osamu Katayama, produced by Noriko Nakagawa, and this one was also based on the manga, so I guess you could say that I tied in everything by them all being based on mangas, which, if you know, like, I didn't know ahead of time, so you can totally call bullshit on me on that if you want. I don't care, but it's something I can say. The thing that drew me first to it was that the girl who plays Momoto, Keiko Kitagawa, she was actually Pretty Guardian. She was Sailor Mars in the live-action Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. So that was just like, what? The person who did Sailor Mars is doing another, who did another drama? Well, I just gotta go check it out, and happened to be Mop Girl. Unlike Cutie Honey, which didn't have a lot of people, didn't have, you know, very many experienced actors, almost everyone who appears in Mop Girl, aside from, obviously, Momoko, Keiko, all have plenty, and I mean plenty, of shows under their belts already. I mean, just look at the list and you'll see. And the odd thing is that a lot of them have worked on the same show, so you might think that maybe that's why they're all cast, all the same company. Mop Girl, like I said, is also very, very, very episodic. Well, actually, they're all episodic when you think about it. All three shows have been episodic, so it's good. Unlike the first two, Cutie Honey and Mei-chan, which I said were very good transitioners into live action, this one doesn't have too much in common with any type of manga. It's got its comedy bits in it, very much comedic bits, and most of them come in the form of Momoko, which are hilarious once you start getting used to them, in that she has a tendency to say the wrong thing, like flat out someone says one thing, and she says something that sounds like it, but it's awfully different, and this of course leads to physical punishment from Shotaro. You know, he'll usually end up hitting her across the head, and you might think, oh, eventually, oh, some kind of love connection going on between them, but it's hilarious, the quote-unquote relationship they have, and how it grows, quote-unquote, through the series. I'm trying very hard not to spoil anything, but at the same time, I'm not really spoiling anything. It isn't up until episode 10 that you see, like, a connection to everything. And then, of course, that's the final episode, so a lot like Mei-chan, it's only been a few episodes long. However, unlike Mei-chan, it's older, so it doesn't look like there's any chance of a second season coming out. The plot of the show is very, like I said, standard whodunit mystery type of thing. The character acting is all very well done. There's no overacting at any points. All in all, the show is very standard. If you like the whole detective-style solving case shows, you'll very much like this. And as long as you don't like them too heavy-handed, too, you know, too much drama going on, you will definitely find yourself liking this show. It's a very lighthearted show up until episode 9. I can tell you right now, there's only 10 episodes, and when it hits episode 9, suddenly things just take a turn. And the show still has its humor in it, but suddenly it becomes very, very, very serious drama. Not serious, it just becomes very dramatic. I've told other people this. I'm a typical dude. I don't cry a lot, you know? I mean, the last time I cried was, you know, the ending of Crisis Core, which, you know, I don't. If you played Crisis Core all the way through, don't lie, you lie, you cry too. But episode 9? It had me in tears. I mean, I wasn't bawling, obviously, but just, like, it was so dramatic and so, like, sad. It got to you. And then if you watch episode 10 right after episode 9, you still kind of got that whole emotional high running, and there's parts in 10 that you're weak from episode 9, so these parts in 10 will get to you. It's just, it's 9 and 10, watch out, you know. If you're in a room with a bunch of other guys watching the show, you probably aren't, you're doing things you shouldn't be. But if you're not, and you're just watching it because it's a good show, watch out. You'll probably get a couple people in tears by the end of the show. All in all, a very good show. Not great. Not like Cutie Honey, which was awesome. The show is very much a standard. You'll like it, you won't. It's not like there's particular parts you hate. It's not like those particular parts that you're going to find awesome. It's very much a standard good show to watch that if you really like J-drama already, a good show to go see. Mop Girl is, I believe, also being subbed by Timeless Fansub, so you can check them out, like I said, the same way with Mei-chan. And I believe that does it for my review. So to sum everything up, Mop Girl, okay. Mei-chan, pretty good if you're a chick. If you're a guy, you might not like it as much. Fan of Oran, you'll love it. Kitty the Honey the Life, there's no reason for you not to have watched the show already. Go out, get it now. Watch it over and over. Love it. Love Kitty Honey, love Mark Musashi, love everything about it. Yeah. Sorry about that. Anyway, That does it on my end. I'd like to apologize in advance. If I sound like I'm spacing out, it's because I am. I'm recording this when I should be sleeping. So that just goes to show how much dedication I have to you, the viewer. Being said, that does it for today's episode. And so, we come to the end of our episode. And wow, what an episode it was. Just have to point out, I don't know if I said this in my review or not, but I was kind of tired when I did my review. Or rather, I'm going to be. I'm recording this ahead of time, as is per custom, seeing as we did it last episode. So if I start, like, sounding like I'm tired, it's because I will be, you know? I was supposed to have gone to bed, like, 2 hours ago, and considering how long it takes me to record, it's probably going to be another hour. So, take it or leave it. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Sorry there was no donut. So if all of you guys are listening for donut, next 2 weeks, however long it takes him to do an episode, it will be all him. All donut all the time. Until it becomes my time, and then it'll be all me all the time. And anyway. Just a couple things I'd like to point out beforehand. Some things I'd like to address. First, I saw, finally, the 2 episodes of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, and I gotta say, I'm not terribly impressed with them. I know, I'm a Fullmetal Alchemist fan, and yet what I'm saying is blasphemy. The shows themselves look pretty. I mean, they look nice. If you look at them, you'll notice right away that one of the big differences is that all the characters' outlines seem to be very bold. It's got the same art style, but the color style seems a bit different. It's got the same style, and yet different style at the same time, so it's kind of weird like that. The story is, as I thought, following the manga. The only thing that differentiates is that the opening story is like a new story that just hasn't happened, and so it's like a bridge between what's happening, and then it's going to start off with the manga's plotline. Aside from that, not much news on it. Also, another thing I like to attract, Dragon Ball Kai. I was wrong. It is not a reimagining, as far as I can tell. It is just a remastering of the original television series, which is nice. It'll be nice to be able to get some of these. It's nice that they're retouching it, because that means that we're going to be able to get a Blu-ray set that will actually be high definition, not just them cutting off the tops and bottoms of it and saying, oh, like, hey, look, it's widescreen, which they did with, like, all the season episodes. So, look out for that. It's got a nice opening theme, though, which is pretty good. Same thing with Fullmetal Alchemist. The opening theme in Fullmetal Alchemist is very much in the vein of Fullmetal Alchemist openings, you know. But it's like I said before, how many times can I sit there and watch Ed make his automail arm into a blade, and oh look, Alphonse is fighting someone, look at that. The song's nice though. I especially like the ending though. It's done in this, I don't want to say chibi, it's a very cartoonish, very childlike format of the show that just kind of shows all the characters. It's definitely a good ending. The opening's good, too. As they should be. But the ending definitely is good. I kind of got bored of the whole always gotta be sad song endings. Well, not sad, just slow songs. So this one's very nice. Same thing with Dragon Ball Kai. The opening is just very much in like the vein of Chala, Head Chala. So check those out if you have time. I don't know who's fan-subbing either of them. I don't even know if anyone has fan-subbed Dragon Ball Kai, but I know someone's fan-subbing Fullmetal Alchemist. I don't know if they've finished fan-subbing the second episode or not. We'll see. Anyway, I've rambled on long enough. That does it for today's episode. Hope you liked it, and see you guys on the flippy side. Wow, I can't believe I just said that. Anyway, see you guys later. Cast.
off. Change Beetle.
Real quickly, as we wrap up our show, I just like to point out that we will be changing the URL to www.otakubreakalloneword.podomatic.com. Just giving you guys a heads up. That's my final say out. See ya.